Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, verses 18 to 20. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. And I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause. So far as from the text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who knows our needs and also fulfills them, dear fellow redeemed. What a shock it must have been. What a shock it must have been for Jeremiah to find out from God that his own townspeople, many of them priests, were plotting to kill him. Why? Had he done something terrible against them? Was he guilty of treason against the king? Was he unfaithful to the priesthood? No, he wasn't guilty of any of these things. He was only guilty of proclaiming the truth. God's word. What he proclaimed angered, shamed, and embarrassed the people and the priests of his town. Jeremiah had preached a message of severe warning, a warning that destruction was going to come because of their faithlessness in the people of Judah. The people had fallen away from the Lord. Or as Jeremiah said in the verses prior to our text, they left the fountains of living waters and they dug for themselves wells that could hold no water. Instead of listening to the water of life, the word of God which brings life and salvation, they listened to their own words which would lead only to doom and destruction. The Lord through Jeremiah pleaded with the people, turn from your ways, repent and follow Jehovah. But they refused. So the Lord directed Jeremiah to proclaim A judgment so terrifying, so all-encompassing, that Jeremiah actually felt physical pain. When he proclaimed that message of judgment, he wasn't just sick to his stomach. He had pain in his heart. We read in Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah is speaking, Oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. The people did not believe the warning. Whether they believed the false priests that their safety, their security was tied in with the temple in Jerusalem. They couldn't believe that God would allow Jerusalem to be destroyed. They didn't trust and have faith. It was empty superstition. A lot like today, where some people believe that if they're members of a church, if they have their names on the rolls of membership, then they don't have to fear the judgment. They're surely going to heaven. They trust in their membership rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only way to the Heavenly Father. These people were saying, how could God destroy Jerusalem? That's where his house is, the very temple where he worshiped. That's not going to happen. So they continued in their rebellion, in their rejection of the Lord. And that made Jeremiah sick. Since they had broken their covenant with the Lord, and turn from him, the Lord was rejecting them. In fact, he told Jeremiah, do not pray for this people. You can see why the people hated Jeremiah. His message angered these impenitent false priests because they were bringing a completely different message of peace and safety. They looked upon Jeremiah as the problem, not themselves. It reminds you of whom? King Ahab, remember? When the 3.5 years of drought, then he saw Elijah, you're the trouble of Israel. He blamed Elijah for the drought. But all along, it wasn't Elijah's problem. He was just proclaiming the truth of the word. It was Ahab's problem. Well, here the people thought, well, if we can get rid of Jeremiah, the messenger, then we also get rid of his message and don't have to worry about him bothering us. And it seems like Jeremiah was oblivious to all of this. Obediently, he was just going about proclaiming the news that God had told him to proclaim, a message of law and judgment, and he had no idea that the hatred for him was so deep that people were even plotting to take his life. But in all reality, the hatred and anger was not directed just to Jeremiah. It was directed against the Lord Jehovah. Because it was not Jeremiah's words, it was Jehovah's words that they hated. Again, as we said, it was not Jeremiah's fault. He wasn't the reason for the coming judgment. It was the people. The severe proclamation of the law was to lead them to turn, repent of their sins, and look again to the Lord Jehovah. By revealing this plot to Jeremiah, the Lord was trying to once again lead the people to repent. He's showing them, do you think you can really secretly plot this? You think you can really secretly assassinate my own prophet without me knowing about it? You think I don't know what you think? Don't know what you do? I know everything you think and do and say. He's also revealing this to Jeremiah to comfort Jeremiah. When God called Jeremiah into the office of a prophet, he was quite a young person. And Jeremiah was quite reluctant because of his youth. So God had said to him, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And so Jeremiah did confidently, simply, faithfully, truthfully proclaim whatever God told him to proclaim to the people. And that's why he was so shocked when the Lord revealed to him, the people hate you. The people hate your words because they hate me. And they want to kill you. Jeremiah picturesquely puts it in our text, but I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. The word docile means a pampered and favored domestic pet, like your dog or cat who feels safe and secure in your house when you're petting him. He doesn't think you're going to stab him or kill him. So Jeremiah unsuspectingly was proclaiming the word, not knowing that the people were plotting to kill him. Does this remind you of anybody? A docile lamb? Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. In this area, Jeremiah was like a type of Christ. The difference, though, Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew he was being led like a lamb to the slaughter. He willingly, intentionally set his face to Jerusalem, obeying his Father's will to be sacrificed for all of us. Jeremiah sums up the intent and the purpose of his enemies with these words. They're thinking, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. Kill the tree, you kill the fruit. Kill a messenger, we no longer have to listen to his message. When he is dead, he is silent and no longer will speak, and he won't even know he existed. How foolish. It's God's message, not Jeremiah's. You can't stop God's message. Can't make it be silent. What a wondrous display of God's power. All those people who plotted to end Jeremiah's life, so he'd no longer be remembered, their names aren't mentioned. You don't even know who they are. And yet the one they try to wipe off the face of the earth, obliterate from all memory, Jeremiah, his words have been recorded. And for 2,500 years, countless millions upon millions of Christians have heard his word and will continue to hear his word and know and remember him on into eternity. The word of the Lord endures forever. The plots and words and schemes of mankind come to nothing. And even if the world does forget the child of God, it doesn't remember we even existed, the Lord never forgets. The Lord remembers all his own. In the last verse of our text, we see Jeremiah puts the whole situation of the land in the hands of his loving God. He says, "But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause." No doubt Jeremiah knew the Old Testament scriptures. He probably knew Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people plot a vain thing? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. And Psalm 27, where David wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I shall be confident." And so Jeremiah confidently places the whole situation, his future life, his safekeeping, his welfare, into Jehovah's hands, the one who judges righteously. For God acts according to reality, not according to appearance. The Lord is not neutral. He defends his own. He defends those who have laid their cause into his hands, committed to him. Jeremiah knew that the Lord knew what was in his heart and in his mind. And what was in Jeremiah's heart and mind? A simple devotion to do God's will. A simple desire to proclaim his word truthfully, faithfully, even in the face of hatred, hostility. The Lord knows the hearts of his children. He also knows the thoughts and evil intents of the enemy as well. We read in scriptures, "Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Jeremiah is confident the Lord will act on his behalf to defend him. He prayed that he might see the Lord's actions and vengeance upon the people. Not Jeremiah wanting revenge. Not Jeremiah hating the people and saying, "Damn them, Lord," because I hate them. That would have been sinful. But Jeremiah saying, "Defend your glory, Lord. Let me see your righteous anger over against those who reject your word." That's what Jeremiah was praying for. What a wonderful lesson to learn. Early in one's ministry, early in one's life. There's a powerful lesson here in our text for all of us too. The believing child of God who's committed our future, our welfare, our security to the Lord. But there's also a warning in our text here. The Lord not only knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts as we're faithful to him, but he also knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts in our sinfulness. We can hide our sins from our parents, from our spouse, from our pastor, from each other's members, from our friends, from our children even. But God sees them all. God sees our evil thoughts. God knows when we have said those words that no one else hears that are sinful. And God sees all those evil actions that we do that when no one else has even comprehended or known about. He sees them all. What a glorious message of forgiving love and grace we see in our text this morning. When God says, I see you in your sins, and I lead you to repent, and I see you in your suffering, and give you strength. And so we applied our text, this thought, our comfort in crisis is found in the Lord. And our first point is, the Lord understands, and I probably should have said the Lord always understands what is happening. Do you think that the Lord knew what was happening about 2 weeks ago out there in the Atlantic Ocean when Isaac was building bigger and bigger and bigger? Do you think he knew that it wasn't going to hit Florida as everybody expected? Was it going to go west and go straight for poor New Orleans and Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama? Almost on the very day, 7 years later after Katrina? Do you think he knew how much rain was going to fall on those cities in the state? Do you think he knew how much damage was going to be done? Do you think that God knows all about the disasters and the crises that happen in this life? Of course he does. God's in control of all of these things. In the midst of a crisis, we might be in shock, might be appalled, confused, frustrated, not know where to turn, not know what to do, maybe slip into a depression, maybe get angry with God, self-pity, hopeless. The Lord's in control. You need to remember that the Lord knows what's happening, always knows what's happening, not only in the good times, but in times of crisis as well. Jeremiah could easily have despaired when all of a sudden he realized, he was told by the Lord, they want to kill you. They hate you. They're not listening to your message. He could have fallen into self-pity, even lashed out at God and said, well, then why did you tell me to tell them this message? If they're going to kill me, Lord, what were you telling me to say that for? But Jeremiah knew the Lord is always knows what's happening. And secondly, the Lord, shall I say, always is on our side. As Jeremiah experienced some of those things when you're shocked, he was shocked when this news was given to him. But he didn't fall into those sinful things of anger or resentment or despair. He laid himself into that promise, for I am with you to deliver you. He soberly realized what kind of war and battle he was in. That he was fighting for the souls of the people. But he knew the Lord was on his side. The Lord was with him. And so should we know that. Our fight, our battle in this life, is for all the marbles. It's for everlasting life. It's not a fight in which Satan will give in easily or even give in at all. The Apostle Paul wrote these applicable words, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The Lord has revealed to every single one of you and me, there is somebody in this world who wants to kill you. Spiritually kill you. He wants to lead you into hell. He wants to take away your heavenly inheritance. He wants to take you into his kingdom. The old evil foe. His one desire is that we, like the people of Judah, as Christians believe, what? I'm not going to hell. I belong to Peace of Christ. I'm a member of a church. I go to church. There's no way I'm going to be destroyed because I'm a good person. Satan will try to get us to look upon Christ and Christianity like a good luck charm. As long as you hold on to it, you'll be saved. Or as we say, all you need to do is go through the motions, say the right words, do the right actions, and all be fine. Fine. Or he kind of convinces us that God only sees you on Sunday. Then you can cater to him and appease him. The rest of the week, do what you want, act any way you want, because he's not going to know. But God sees us every day. As you said earlier, He knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He knows our actions. He condemns our sins. But what a great blessing that He has also been on our side by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Sent into this world to take our place, to live the life we could not live, to die the death we deserved, to rise from the dead and assure us that we have everlasting life and a righteousness that stands before God on Judgment Day. He has chained Satan, destroyed death, conquered all of this by being the living one. Scripture says, He has rescued us from every evil attack and will bring us safely into His heavenly kingdom. In times of crisis, we need to remember this lesson of the prophet Jeremiah and turn to the Lord, turn to His Word, for that'll sustain you and me through all the days, the weeks, the months, and the years of our lives. The Lord always understands what is happening. The Lord is always on our side. Praise God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.